Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And we're off. Welcome in to hour two of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings Live on VSiN and DraftKings Network. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Lots to get to as we dive right in here this full hour. Coming up in 30 minutes, VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino, where I'm broadcasting from in Las Vegas. He's going to join us in studio. Lots of Circa Survivor, Circa Millions updates to get to. It's a no way, no doubt day. We're going to have a lot of fun, but we're going to start in the NBA, Michael, because you yesterday in Why Not Wednesday were hitting the Mavericks hard and they came through on the money line last night.
Yeah, I don't think we give the Mavericks enough credit in terms of they have two great players, right? And I think sometimes Kyrie gets caught up into the things he says about various subjects and his inability to get along with his teammates or coach, and we lose sight of how great of a player he really is. And Jason Kidd deserves a ton of credit, because remember, when they went to sign him, nobody was really sure that this was all going to work, but he respects Kidd, he believes in Kidd, and he's become a different human being. Maybe he's always been that way and the media's portrayed him differently, but my viewpoint is, wow. And what he did last night in the first half was remarkable. This Dallas team, since the trading deadline, where they get PJ Washington back in there, and really has made a huge difference to their team, and Goddard as well. I mean, they've got two guys in there, and then the Lively kid who they drafted has really come of age. So this is not like that wasn't an upset last night, Stormy. I mean, I don't even think the Mavericks played their best game. They shoot 6 for 25 from the 3-point line. Luka makes three of them. They turned the ball over more than the Minnesota Timberwolves did. But yet when the game was on the line and Minnesota got back in it and took the lead, Dallas showed the heart of a champion and they made the plays Luka did down the stretch.
And because you mentioned obviously the trade deadline, that's why when we were leading into the series, we talked so much about how just because the Mavs lost the regular season series 3-1 doesn't mean you can take any of that into this series. All four of those games were prior to the trade deadline. Kyrie and Luka only played together in one of those games. And you see the magic that they can have in the moments where it matters most. And, you know, oftentimes I feel like it's Kyrie who plays the closer, but he was important at the beginning of the game to get the team started off strong. And then Luka ended up coming in the back end with the tough fourth quarter. I also think, though, and it's something we discussed in hour one, that I don't think we should be all that surprised, though, that the Timberwolves had a letdown in game one here, coming off of that massive game seven on the road against the defending champs. You win to get into this point. That was a mental and physically draining series and game for the Minnesota Timberwolves, who, of course, end up losing last night. The final score in that one, 108-105. And so with that, we heard from Anthony Edwards earlier. He talked about they came out flat. They found their energy for a moment. Then they ended up being flat once again. Kyrie Irving and that matchup with Anthony Edwards is going to be something to watch. Kyrie talked a little bit about it after the game.
And you've talked about Ant as being one of those kids with no fear.
Yeah.
You know, he's on TNT after game seven talking about, I got Kyrie.
Yeah.
You know, what did you think of that matchup and kind of that game within the game?
Yeah, no, as a peer, man, I love that. I love it, man. It's nothing better. You know, when Ant was a little bit younger, I'm sure he was watching me. And, you know, when he was in high school, I was watching him. So for me, it's more of those exciting matchups that I look forward to, too. Right after the game, it was funny because he said it right then and there. And I think the whole world was looking like, okay, you know, better know what you're talking about, Ant. You know, and I respect that. And that no fear mentality that he has is why I love him as a competitor and why I love him as a person. But when we're on that court, I know he's going to give his all. I'm going to give him my all. And at the end of the game, you know, it's all love, and we're in between those lines. He knows what it is, and I know what it is.
Michael, also to go back to your earlier point about Kyrie Irving and the way that, like, the perception of Irving is changing, like, how likable did he appear just there?
Well, unbelievable. You know, it's like, wow, he seems happy. I mean, there's a man who's happy, who loves competition, you know, who's really, you know, this is a guy who lost a shoe contract. I mean, nobody was willing to even give him a shoe contract a couple of years ago. But, you know, for whatever reason, and, you know, and the fact that he's refound himself, and thankfully for all of us, because I think now we can truly appreciate how great of a basketball player he is. But I agree with what you said. I think Anthony Edwards was exhausted. I think he's got to play both ends of the court in this series, right? And so there's, you know, he can't really rest, which I'm sure they probably feel like maybe they need to play a little bit more zone to get him to catch himself, which we'll see. But, you know, I think ultimately they frustrated Anthony Edwards a little bit. He was not sure where the traps were coming from. You know, he wasn't really comfortable. They couldn't get into a flow. And when you dominate Minnesota in the paint, and what they had 20 points on dunks, Minnesota's not the same team. I mean, Minnesota, as Barkley said after the game, they don't play to their size. You know, they don't play big. Carl Anthony Towns is 7-footer. You know, they've got two big guys in there. They don't play that way all the time. Expect them to do that. But I thought Irving was fabulous with his left hand, the shot he made against Oklahoma City on to put the game away with that left hand was remarkable. And last night, coming in with one hand to the other hand, back to the other, it's just unbelievable. Yeah. So, look, they got their best. You know, the second game is going to be a great game. I think there's no question that'll be a great game. And I think Minnesota will have that we won the championship out of their bloodstream, and now we got to start fighting again.
And it appears that people are buying on that zigzag theory, because the Timberwolves have been bet up from a 4-point favorite in game 2 to 5.5. The Mavs now, we've seen a flip of favorites there. They go from getting plus money to now -165 favorite coming up in the series. Also tonight, game 2 in Boston, taking on the Indiana Pacers, Celtics laying 9, total 224.5. Any early thoughts for you on game 2 coming off the what a shoulda, coulda closing out performance from Indiana?
Look, I thought Indiana gained confidence when they played the Knicks in week 1 in the first game, and they came back in the second game. I thought they would win that at the Garden. They didn't. They didn't play as well. But I do think this is a team we're not giving enough credit to, and I think that Boston's defense wasn't where it needed to be. Now, Mike Somich made a great point. Can they slow the pace down to get control of the game a little bit? And I think they're going to have to do that. Look, I think right now Boston got punched in the mouth and they got saved by a Hail Mary. Let's be honest. The Jaylen Brown shot from the corner, great shot, unbelievable player. He made it, but it was more Indiana lost than Boston won. And so that gives Boston a chance to come back and win the game outright. But like Mike Somich, I don't think I would go near the point spread in this one, because I think Indiana is better than we give them credit for. Their bench is deeper. And when Halliburton has that aggressive nature to him, and without Porzingis in there, they're a different team.
Yeah, and you do wonder how much of their potential hangover there could be from game 1, losing in that fashion. 10 seconds to go, you're up 3 with the ball, and you can't close it out. Ultimately, of course, losing overtime. And Jason Tatum, who was kind of a no-show there for a moment, wakes up and does what he does in the overtime period to ultimately lead Boston to that win. Okay, last couple minutes here of this opening segment, Michael. We like to do what's on Michael's mind, things that are rolling through your brain, can't get out of your head. What's on Michael's mind today?
Well, I mean, I think it's tragic, right? I mean, today you open up most of the, whether it's Twitter or whatever you read in the morning, and you see Antonio Brown has filed for bankruptcy, that a man who's made $88 million over his NFL career has $50,000 in the bank, much of his own doing. And there's certainly sympathy that goes into this case of tragedy, but there's also lessons, right? There's lessons for all these young players who are now starting their NFL career, that you have to understand, and we as fans have to understand this too. An NFL career, if you're lucky, lasts 5 years. An NFL career, if you're really lucky, lasts 10. And so if you're making $1 million a year for 5 years, you can't live off that for the rest of your life. That's going to be hard to do, especially if you're spending like you make $1 million a year every year. You know, that life expectancy doesn't last forever. So you have to be very judicious with your money. You have to have people around you that you trust. And you have to be mature. And you have to become a professional. You can't be an amateur. And as hard as it is to watch a player go through what Antonio Brown's going through, some of it by his own volition, you have to learn from it. And I think teams will use that. And that's on my mind today because it's so important. You know, you only have this great opportunity to make this money once in your lifetime. Because when in this profession, when you're 32 or 33, you're too old and you're moving on out. And so you've got to make sure that you do the right things while you're making the money so that you can have a second career with money.
And I know Antonio Brown is a unique case because, like, he's had a lot of stuff going on, right? On and off the field, he has been a very unique character in our league. But it is surprising, in my opinion, given how many players of the past have come out and have had this happen to them where they ultimately are broke or bankrupt or in trouble because they're helping out a friend that they knew from back in the day, wants them to invest in this and this and this. Like, it's surprising to me that it's still happening with the financial literacy I know the league does put out there and with how many of these horror stories we have seen in the past with these athletes.
Yeah, but look, everybody thinks they have somebody that they can trust, right? Yeah. And you have to be very careful who you let in your circle. You have to be very careful that gets your trust. Not everybody can get your trust. Even you say, well, trust is earned. No, I think sometimes trust can't even be earned. It's a small group. And there's stories of, you know, people that have lost money because of who they trusted, whether it's entertainers or whether it's athletes. It goes through everywhere in normal life. So you have to be very careful and you have to be mature. And you have to, as I keep saying, you've got to transition from an amateur to a professional. And you got to understand that you're a pro now. And there's no hangers on. You got to divorce yourself of the people who are just along for the ride.
Absolutely. A great lesson for young players out there to be aware of. Again, Antonio Brown made over $80 million in a 12-year NFL career, claiming now in his filing to have $50,000 or less in assets. We're going to take a step aside when we come back on the Lombardi Line. Time for No Way or No Doubt. You won't want to miss it. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, guys, for a limited time, the deal is back where we're offering our annual VSiN subscription at an unbeatable price, usually $240. Now you can grab a full subscription for just $199. But we're taking it a step further. When you sign up today, we're also giving you an extra 2 months free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access, less than 50 cents a day. But you have to use our promo code Lombardi. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for each and every game, betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, and a whole lot more. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro, only $199. But again, use our promo code Lombardi.
Disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt in my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
Let's dive right into it, Michael. Roger Goodell, as a part of the NFL owners' meetings, has been making a lot of interesting statements and has been talking for a while about the potential for an 18-game NFL season in the future. Of course, that would mean reducing the number of preseason games, but do with that what you will as it pertains to player safety, which everything that the league does is under that guise, of course. But no way or no doubt, Michael, an 18-game NFL regular season is inevitable in the near future.
No doubt. And it should be there, but it should be with restrictions. It should be with some guidelines for player safety, right? We know quarterbacks can do that if they can last 18 games. But to say that we're replacing a preseason game with a regular season game is an apple to an orange, because most of the guys are in baseball caps that play in the NFL during the preseason, and they're in helmets when they play in a regular season. So it's two different games, and that's going to add more plays. Typically, most NFL games are 70 plays, let's say. And, you know, if you play a 16-game season, X amount of plays times 16 times 70, you come up with a number. Well, if that's the number for 16, that should be the number for 18. Now, it's the coach's job to figure it out. And you say, well, that's too harsh. I mean, that would be too difficult. How do you do that? You know, and it's like, how do we make that work? And, you know, well, it could be 8 plays a game. And when you use those 8 plays, how do you use those plays? See, and you know what would happen if you did that? you'd find players. You'd find out that, okay, we got to get more guys ready to go. We got to play more guys. We might have more guys that are good enough. We have to use our depth. Maybe we dress 53 if we go to 18 as opposed to this ridiculous we're paying guys full salaries and then leaving seven guys at home. Like, why can't we dress them? I know we have to give out an injury report. And if we don't give out an injury report and we don't have inactives an hour before the game, it could mess up everything. I get all that. But if you're talking about player safety, dress 53, put a play count limit on positions like offensive and defensive linemen, because that's the most contact that's going to happen all the time, and go from there. And you know what's going to happen? You'll develop more offensive linemen. You'll develop more defensive linemen.
And I hope that when the time comes for the new collective bargaining agreement, that the NFLPA fights for things like that. Because if you really do care about these players, those types of things need to happen. Speaking of players and injuries, Anthony Richardson, the Indianapolis Colts young quarterback, only made it through 5 weeks last season. And he does play the game a little bit differently, a little more physical, a little bit with his legs. He was answering some questions yesterday about changing his style of play.
You know, I don't feel like there's anything wrong with my play style. You know, people see me, I'm a big quarterback, so they always think, oh, he wants to run the ball all the time. He wants to be physical, and that's what's going to get him hurt, when that's not the case. You know, it just happened because we play a dangerous game, and there's nothing I can do about that. But necessarily changing my play, I don't think I want to change it. But, you know, being smart, when knowing when to get extra yards and knowing when to get down, I feel like I know how to do that. It's just, you know, now that I have to do it and do it at the right time, I guess. So I don't think I'm going to change anything, but being smarter for the team, of course.
Loving the hometown support, by the way, with the Pacers jersey on. But no way or no doubt, Anthony Richardson must change his style to avoid injury in his sophomore season.
No way. You can't change who you are. You can't change your style. Part of it, it's a little bit like, okay, let's take Trevor Lawrence, for example. When you go back and watch Trevor Lawrence play at Clemson, one of the things that made him so effective was his feet. He could run with the football, made a lot of plays. He was skinny but could run. When he gets to the NFL, that running ability isn't really good for him because he's so linear. He's tall and thin. And he takes a beating when he runs, and it becomes problematic for him. Richardson's a big man. He's got more, to me, you know, everybody wants to compare Drake May to Josh Allen. Josh Allen comparison really is Anthony Richardson. Big man, hard to tackle, faster than Allen, right? And so he's got to use his feet to help him. Now, I think what he said in there was so damn true. I got to be smart. I got to be smarter. I got to get out of bounds when I see it. Like, I can't fight for every single last yard unless it's a Super Bowl game or a playoff game. Be smarter with the ball in your hands, but don't change what you're doing, because that'll make you less effective, which has made Trevor Lawrence less effective. When he can't run, he's not the same guy.
And Anthony Richardson, Michael, to that point, he needs to be on the football field, because what we talked about a lot going into last season is he doesn't have a lot of experience. Since his first season at Florida in 2020, he has 17 starts. He has 265 completions to his name, right? Like, you look at a guy like Jared Goff, who last year had more than that in a single season. This is his career we're talking about. So this is very, very important, because we saw the dynamic ability that he has when he's available to be available. But you got to stay true to who you are in that same vein. Another mobile quarterback worth talking about, the defending MVP, Lamar Jackson. He was asked about the offseason change and bringing in a new partner in the backfield in Derrick Henry. Oh, I thought we had the sound for that. Just kidding. We do not. But he was talking about how...
just kidding.
Yeah, he was talking about, obviously, how great it is to have a guy like Derrick Henry that he can hand the ball off to. He feels confident in the line that they have in front of him, the type of player he is, the type of defense they have. Was just raving about the way this team can come together. So no way or no doubt, Michael, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry could be the best backfield in the league this year.
No doubt. And here's what's going to make it really effective is the fact that Henry, to be effective, he has to be deep in the eye formation away from the quarterback to let his momentum and that speed build the power that he possesses in that body. It's, you know, the closer to the line of scrimmage he is, or offset in the eye, offset in shotgun, the less effective he is, because if there's penetration, play's going to be over. He's not rerouting himself to go. But when he goes on a straight line and what we call a point of entry back, meaning the point of entry is clean for him to get to, when he has the point of entry clean, hole. Good luck trying to tackle this big guy. And one-yard games become four. And in the fourth quarter, those one-yard games become eight, nine, ten. Hard to deal with. And the fact that if he's that deep in the eye and Lamar's under center, and I hope they don't use the pistol here, really. I hope they don't do that. But hypothetically, if he's under center and he's the deep in the eye, that play-action pass game opens up completely for this team, and I think Baltimore can be a dynamic run team as they've always been. The other thing you notice, too, just to add on to this, is they redid Ronnie Stanley's contract. Ronnie Stanley has never been an off-season program guy. He's always been a little bit of aloof, kind of out on the way. But he's been in camp, and I think this is a make-or-break year for him.
Big season for the Baltimore Ravens, who are hoping to have a shot at a Super Bowl, no question about it. How about this, Michael? The NFL is moving forward with an optical tracking system for line-to-gain rulings. The system had been tried out in a few stadiums this past year, and we'll get a full preseason trial this summer. No way or no doubt, the NFL needs more technology like this to ensure correct calls.
No question. We should, and we should have it on the goal line. And we should have it, you know, if that ball goes out of the end zone and we're dealing with that, where did it cross? How did we get there? Yeah, I definitely think that needs to be as much as we possibly can to take it out of Scott Novak's hands. This should always be the Scott Novak rule, you know, and then we don't have to deal with, I mean, one of the legacies of the great John Madden left us, is that a right foot spot or a left foot spot? We all look for it now, right? Oh, he got a left foot spot. That's pretty good coming in from the closest to the camera sideline. Bo, he got a right foot spot. That's a great spot over there. Now it's over with. No more right and left foot spot. Here's where the chip tells us where to go. Look, if we could put a man on the goddamn moon, right? And if we can hit a house in some remote location in Pakistan, we can probably figure out how to do the chains.
If we can put a man on the moon, why are we using an index card on a football field? 100%. One thing I do want to just clarify, because I know there have been a lot of people that are like, finally, the chain gang is eliminated. We're not going to have that anymore. I think it's great that we're not going to have the show of the chain gang running out there anymore, and the way that things are getting measured. They're still going to be there for safety. We still need markers to know where the line of scrimmage is and where the line to gain. Like, you're still going to have that for the quarterbacks and players to have that awareness. It'll be a backup if the technology doesn't work. But this will make the game go quicker. This will make the game more efficient. And I can't wait to see how it comes visually in the preseason. I know in the UFL, the league that I cover with ESPN and ABC, they use that visual spatial technology for first downs. So we'll see how it looks in the NFL. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In addition to watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the betting tools and content available at VSiN.com. Best bets from hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips, and trends. Right now on the homepage, VSiN senior NBA analyst JVT has previews, picks, and predictions up for the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. We've got daily write-ups in the NHL, Major League Baseball, WNBA, and plenty of NFL offseason content. Our own Adam Burke this week posting a blueprint for all 18 weeks of Survivor, and Dave Tooley's got a breakdown specifically of week one. Check it all out at vsin.com. Speaking of Survivor, we have the one and only Mike Palm, VP of Operations, right here at Circa, joining us on the desk here. And you came on with Follow the Money this morning with Derek Stevens, that full last hour, diving into all things Circa Survivor, Circa Millions contest. What's the guarantee? We now know.
We do now know. We're going to stick with $6 million for the millions, right? We haven't been able to hit it the last 2 years. $4,700 2 years ago, $5,250 last year. So we're still $750 short and had to pay out that overlay. We're going to stay with the $6 million and try to get there. If at first you don't succeed, try again. And then we are going up in the Survivor. You know, you think about the history of it. We started the first year, Stormy, with $1 million guarantee, and we got there. Then we went to $3 million, we got there. We went to $6 million, we got there, just by a hair. And then last year was $8 million, and we did 9,267 entries. So we will guarantee $10 million, eight-figure guarantee for Survivor this year, Michael.
Well, that's really impressive, Mike. It really is. And so last year you also changed how many entries one person can have. Go into that detail this year.
We're going to keep it the same. Basically, everything else is the same. 10 entries is the maximum per person. The little wrinkle there, and of course the entries are $1,000 each. You must come to the state of Nevada to one of our properties to register. But most people play through a proxy. The great majority do, which offer their services at different price ranges. But you can look into that and do your own research online. Several of them advertise with the network. So remember we added that if you lost the Thursday night opener, you could, quote, rebuy, so that you can have 10 entries going into Sunday. Well, we have Copa Brazil now on Friday night between the Eagles and the Packers. So in theory, Michael,
Copa Brazil.
I have a lot to say on that. But anyhow, we have Ravens at Chiefs. You can take a shot there if you want. It's a tough game to play, right? Derek this morning went on and on about where do you use the Chiefs. He's going to use them on Black Friday. Because that's coupled with the Thanksgiving games, which we can get into. But you can take a shot with the Thursday night game, and if you lose, take a shot in Brazil and Sao Paulo. And if you lose, re-enter again before Sunday. So in theory, a person could have had 30 entries. Now, 20 of them would have been dead by the time you get to Sunday. So that's a little bit of a twist on what we did the last few years. In total, 25 people had entries on the Thursday night game, lost and rebought. Now, that's not the number of entries, but the number of contestants that took a shot. And remember, most people, surprisingly, on that opening night last year took the Lions. Mm-hmm. 75, almost 80% of the entrants and survivor that did go on that game were on the Lions. And it paid off. I mean, they took the shot. You have a big advantage getting that win. And then if you lose, you could do the rebound. I'm sure most of them were prepared, having played the Lions in that spot.
Well, and then back into the season, though, you're wondering, that's a team that a lot of people were saving that they didn't get to then use later.
Well, but also like the, you know, the Jessica Hearns lady. It saved her because she's a Detroit native from using them on Thanksgiving and getting eliminated.
Correct.
Because she used them in the opening game of the year.
Yeah, that was a huge swing game. But yeah. I mean, what you guys have done has truly been remarkable. And you add that wrinkle to it. You have what you do with the deals for people that want to stay at any of the properties in Serco if you're doing a certain number of entries. But have you been surprised at all by the way from that year one where it was $1 million guarantee that things have grown to now? Because like this is exponential growth. Could you ever have imagined that to expand this much this fast?
This fast probably is the, I mean, the chart is like this, right? It's not a straight line. But Survivor is a very compelling contest because what you only have to pick one winner. And 98% of the time, when you get knocked out, it's because of a bad beat or some strange thing happened. You turn the ball over four times. They missed a kick, right? It's something strange. And you always feel like it's a bad beat and I should have won and I can't wait to get in next year. And there's all this FOMO now of everybody else that gets to enjoy the sweat through the end of the year. It's a brilliantly designed contest. And it's not that we're the first one ever to come up with a Survivor, but we've put it into this large format and it's really taken off. Now, others much prefer the millions. They want the 5 months of action, right? You're guaranteed. You get the whole year. There's 150 some different ways to win. The quarterly prizes are terrific, and you even have booby prizes for if you're struggling. And there's some hosts on this network only play the millions. There's some hosts only play Survivor. There's some that do a few of each. It's whatever your cup of tea is. For me, I'm not smart enough to pick five games every week against this. I'm just not.
It's hard.
I try to come up with two or three maybe. Right. And so,
yeah.
And you can't use totals. And I'm more of a totals player. So, yeah, I think Survivor's going to be terrific again. Both Mitch and Paul thought there'll be over 12,000 entries. I said 11,700 as a guess. And Derek said all he wants is 10,000 and 6,000.
Well, you know, I mean, look, I think one of the things we offer here at the network is the guide. And I think that certainly can help you in any one of these contests because we talk about it every week in the guide. It's something we talk about on every show. So if you're going to go into this and you're going to put $1,000 into it, you know, use the promo code Lombardi, sign up for the guide to help you as you go forward with this. But Mike, I want to ask you, I think the one of the reasons Survivor is so appealing is because unless you've ever done it, it looks too easy. I think when you talk to people, oh, how hard could it be? I just got to pick a winner. Yeah, that's right. You have to pick a winner. It's called the NFL. I was in it 35 years. It's hard to pick a winner. I was in a bus thinking that we were going to lose every week. So, like, it's hard to pick a winner. But I think the appeal to it is everybody thinks it's easy. And then you guys put this $10 million out there and everybody's like, wow, how hard could it be? Just pick a winner, no point spread. I'll do that. I'll get $10 million, you know, buy me a house over in the Bahamas.
Yeah, and you get somebody like Paul Howard, who it comes down to a Monday night game, Green Bay in New York, and he gets beat by a quarterback who'll probably never take another snap again. You know, Tommy Cutlets.
Yeah.
And you know,
I don't know how Paulie eats a veal parm sandwich moving forward. I don't know how the hell he does it.
Well, he when he has a comp dinner, he does it sometime. but you know, this is the strange things that happen. Remember the bloodbath through 3 weeks? Half the field was out, right? Or whatever it was. And we did that empathy package.
Mass exodus.
We did the empathy package. So it's you'll be in, right? You're going to get in again, right?
Absolutely.
You love it.
Last year I went from one entry to three entries. We'll see how many I end up on today. But that's what happens. Like, you get the bug and you want to be in it. And if you lose early, you want to be able to still have other tickets that are live. Go ahead, Michael.
I think, to me, this idea that you have a chance to pick a winner, you know, whether it's Baltimore, Kansas City, or whether it's Green Bay, Philly. So if you want to use three tickets, you save, right? You can save two of the tickets for the re-entry and just use one. And if you get through, now you know, now you're in. Well, you only have one ticket, but at least you're in the damn thing, right?
I want to ask your opinion on this. If you were forced to use the Friday game in week one, Michael, would you use Philadelphia or Green Bay?
I would use Philly. Mm. And the reason I would use Philly is because I think now Green Bay is very popular in Brazil. You know, the country's colors are the Packers. There's Aaron Rodgers' Hail Mary that was thrown in the Detroit game that they won. I think, or was it the Seattle game? Maybe it was the Seattle game at the end of the Seattle game. Remember that one, Mike, up in Seattle? Apparently that was broadcast over in Brazil, and it captivated everybody in Brazil and the country to become Packer fans. And so there'll be a good home crowd, although American Airlines here in Philadelphia has ordered, you know, they have three flights now going to San Pablo from Philly direct in that first week. So it's going to be fun to watch. I think I leaned Philly, but maybe that's just local bias.
I really believe this narrative of the great love of the Packers in Brazil could be off. Michael, there's 22 million people in the San Paulo metropolitan. It's the largest city in the Southern Hemisphere. It's the fourth largest city in the world, Stormy. And they're playing this game in the ninth largest soccer stadium. There's something wrong with that picture. Why are they playing it in a 45,000-seat stadium, Michael? Because the NFL does not want to be embarrassed to not have a sellout. But if you were that confident, you would have played it in one of these 80,000-seat arenas.
Well, maybe that, I don't know the pricing of it either, and the economy, and you know, I don't know all those things, but I agree with you. They would rather have tickets in demand on secondary market than having too many tickets. Yep. There's no question.
Brazil this year knew we're going to continue to see international games. Part of the NFL owners' meetings, the conversation potentially of an international game for every team every year.
This is nonsense. Why did they stop that? Remember Buffalo used to play in Toronto every year, Michael? Whatever happened to that series? I thought those were great.
They were great, but that Toronto, you know, Buffalo, the city of Buffalo didn't think much of them. Well, that's the problem. This Australia thing's fascinating.
That's crazy.
Look, they love football. They love football in Australia. The problem is, how do you show it here in America?
Yeah. Well, and they can love it all they want, but how is the travel going to work? Like, that is a brutal place to have to get to from the U.S. Okay, we're going to hit the break. When we come back, palms pressing three. Don't go anywhere. The Lombardi Line, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, on the other side.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're so close to crowning an NBA champion, and with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings? Well, listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSIN, V-S-I-N. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours.
Pressing?
Yes, I say it's pressing.
Pressing? Why the pressure don't happen?
This is Palms Pressing 3.
Now, my mother told me never to answer a question with a question.
Sir, my client has answered every question asked by this committee with the utmost sincerity.
All right, let's get into it. Palms Pressing 3. Mike Palm, what do you got to kick us off?
You know, Michael, we have seen in the USFL, XFL, UFL, AFL-CIO, these spring leagues that Stormy has covered so beautifully, the use of technology with the chip in the ball for the first down line, the chip in the ball to determine whether when it goes out of bounds on a punt or a field goal. Well, the NFL is going to try a variation of this in the preseason, but they're going to use the Hawkeye technology, which is what the WTA and the ATP use, the tennis association, with those radar, right? The lines, soccer uses it for VAR. So we're going to use it. Now we're keeping the chain gang as a backup during the preseason. I've heard reports that if this goes well in this preseason, they could adapt to it as quickly as this year using this technology for yard-to-gain situations. I know Troy Vincent has said it will be till 2025 because we have to equip every stadium with it. Do you think, Michael, that in the next 12 months, the NFL will eliminate chain gangs?
No question. And I also think that if it goes well in the preseason with any glitches, we are a trillion-dollar league, let's be clear. I mean, maybe we're not quite a trillion, but we're a multi-billion-dollar league. I can't imagine it would be that hard to equip all the NFL stadiums instantaneously. We can bring Herb Kelleher back from Southwest Airlines to get it done because he could get things done in a hurry. So, like, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we have it if it worked really good in the summer? Why wouldn't we have it? Like, what are we waiting for? What are we holding back for? You know, that's the problem with committees. You know, it's like, oh, we have to wait for the competition committee under the direction of Kaiser Sose McKay to tell us it's okay to do it. Like, let's just do it.
And Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, I know there are a lot of NFL purists out there, but this feels like it's so long overdue. We've had this kind of technology for a long time, yet we keep trotting out these old men with the chain. Like, and it's a weird show that I don't feel like we've needed to have for a long time.
You know, people say that the block charge is the most subjective call. How about the 65-year-old man trying to determine where the ball went out of bounds on a punt? And they just keep going. It's like that game on The Price is Right, yeah, where you go over the hill and he goes over the mountain. I mean, he keeps running. He stops a little bit. He keeps. They have it. It's worked so well in these other leagues.
Yeah.
Plus, they have the chips in the ball already. I thought they do that, but they're using the Hawkeye.
I mean, how about getting your slide ruler out and looking up in the air? Like, I mean, it's like they're like, that always blew me away. Like, how do they even know? Like, how can they measure that? It's like the guy who saw Oswald's up on the sixth floor from 180 feet away. Like, you didn't see anything. How the hell do you know what's going on?
It's absolute insanity. And as we referenced this earlier on the show, too, you'll still have, regardless, like, the markers need to be there. So there will still be people that are on the sideline. But it's the trotting out to measure.
Yeah, we're not trying to eliminate jobs.
Yes.
What about when Steratore used a credit card?
Yeah.
Remember? I'm a coach. Anyhow. All right. Question two. Michael, I'm sure you noticed this. John Harbaugh announced the launch of the Harbaugh Coaching Academy that will feature himself, his brother Jim, their dad Jack, and Tom Crean as the four principals. This is an online resource for coaches of all sports dealing with different issues. Coach Belichick was there for the announcement. I'm sure he'd be involved. I'm 100% sure you're supportive of this. So I want you to name three coaches that you think would be invaluable to add to the Harbaugh Coaching Academy.
Well, I think Bill Parcells would be number one on my list, you know, to get somebody that understands how to deal with players and understands leadership. I think Alex Ferguson, the great soccer coach from England, and you know, I think he would certainly add a lot to this because, you know, obviously dealing with European players, you know, you have to kind of come full circle. And then I think you want some people from other sports, right? You want people that have the ability to kind of teach you about the lessons. Hubie Brown would be another name that comes to mind in terms of leadership and bringing him on. And then I think Tom Izzo will be clearly involved in this because of his relationship with Crean. But look, this is a wonderful thing. I think we need to do more of this. I think this Leadership Academy is so important for young coaches if they want to develop. We misjudge coaching, Mike, as if it's just a profession of scheme, and it's really about motivating. It's about the ability to get players to play above and beyond their talent, That's why, to me, when I look at the Chargers and their over-under total, they have an outstanding coach who has proven over time and situation, University of San Diego, you know, horrible job. Stanford, not a good job when he went there. He's improved every place he's been. Took over for Mike Singletary. Improved San Francisco immediately. He's going to make the Chargers a formidable opponent. Now, I'm not saying they're going to the Super Bowl. They have deficiencies. But we don't give enough credit for leadership and coaching, and I think this academy certainly is a start.
Michael, real quickly, and just all in good fun, because we had the funny quote from Denzel Perryman come out this week where he compared the way that Jim Harbaugh talks sometimes to Will Ferrell. Do you have, like, a favorite Harbaugh-ism? You've spent a lot of time with him. You've heard a lot of these quotes. Do you have a favorite?
Well, I have so many favorite. His lines, you know, I don't have a favorite line. I have so many favorite stories about. My favorite one is when he fell asleep. He was a young coach. He just started, and he fell asleep in this little dinky office in the back near the draft room at the Raider facility. And his nose hit the M key on the keyboard, and he woke up to 3,000 pages worth of M's, and he didn't know what to do with them. You know, he had no idea how to get rid of them, right? And so, like, that's just who he is. He's fully vested. The word all in, you know, and we hear about who's got it better than us. That's his favorite tagline, you know. But, I the line I always would use to him, Jim, are you going for $200 a day plus expenses, which is the line from Rockford Files, which we both loved.
That's great. My favorite is I take a vitamin every day. It's called steak.
He drinks. The best was, Stormy, you would have loved this one, before Mike gets to his third question, he would always drink milk. Loved milk. I mean, yeah. Vitamin D guy. Not skim milk, not 1% vitamin D. And the great Run Jones, who's a full character within himself, was supposed to buy milk, but that was too hard of a job for Run. Run was doing too much other things. But Run would leave the milk in the refrigerator, and Jim went to swig it one time, and it was bad. Oh. And oh my God, it was, the whole thing went crazy, and Run was running for his life on that one. The Run stories could make a TV show.
Yeah, you could have a full book just on Run stories, I'm sure.
Okay, Michael, we've left a couple minutes for question three. Let's stay in Baltimore here, because I think one of the most interesting units to try to evaluate for improvement or regression is the Ravens defense. Mike McDonald exits stage left and goes to Seattle. Zach Orr was playing in the league 6 or 7 years ago, became an assistant, an analyst, linebacker coach, went to Jacksonville, and now back. He's never called a defensive play. He takes over this defense. They've got personnel changes. How much do they regress this year?
I think they take a step backwards. Now, they have young players to kind of replace some of these guys, but you don't replace an experienced coordinator. See, here's what happens is Zach Orr's only coached 3 years, Mike. And so he has to rely on those 3 years of coaching to make in-game decisions, right? You know, I've seen this before. I've studied this. This is going to be a challenge for him. And it's going to be, the players are going to look for him for answers. And the worst thing a coach can have is no answers. I think this is going to be a really challenging year for Baltimore defensively. Because remember, last year when the Rams went in there, they ran the football. You can run the ball on Baltimore. You could. He had a hard time stopping it. It was the blitz package that was so effective. And the blitz package wasn't we're blitzing. The blitz package was attacking the protections. Can Zach Orr do that in a creative way and call it the right way? I think it's going to be a little interesting. And losing some of the players that they lost – Van Noy came back, 9.5 sacks to Clowney leaves, but Geno Stone leaving, the safety, was a big player for them. I got to think it's going to be a little bit harder. Plus, let's face it, Mike, the North is harder. The North is going to be a challenge with Burrow back, assuming he's healthy. And, you know, Pittsburgh's going to be better. We know that. And Pittsburgh gives them trouble whether they're good or bad.
Yeah, and it's hard to ask a team to improve on what was the number one defense in the league last year. It feels like the only thing that you can tell would be regression. Real quickly, last minute before we let you go, when can people start signing up for Survivor in Millions?
Tomorrow, 9:00 Pacific time. Cutoff is 4 p.m. Pacific on Saturday, September 7th.
Okay. Oof, exciting. It's here.
Are you
awesome
excited?
Stuff.
Love it.
I'm so excited. I know that you need to get a little bit of rest, though. Are you going to be able to get any? You've got interview after interview.
So, where it's like Michael's book tour. Whirlwind the next couple days.
All good stuff. Appreciate
good for you, Mike.
Yeah, you. Appreciate you. For Mike Palm, Mike Somich, Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni. Keep it locked right here on VSiN for Sharp Money coming up next. Or if you're watching on DraftKings Network, Pablo Torre finds out. That's a wrap for us. Good luck with your bets today, everybody.